Yeah, talk about soundtrack, because that definitely sounds like that, right?
Like a running cool through the streets kind of scene.
Yeah. Exactly. Wow. I like that guitar tone.
As a guy who also does music for sports teams.
Uh-oh,
and
little shredding going on. Uh-oh.
He's getting busy, right?
Yeah, I love that.
But as a guy who does music for sports teams, I love songs like this because it's like a hype between the plays kind of song, you know? So everybody's like, yeah, get it, kill him. You know, it's like, you know, just to rally the crowd.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Oh, that's great. That's chromatic. I love that.
Yeah. Staying inside the scale, but making it fresh. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. And it fits the song. You know, sometimes what you don't want to do is overplay.
Agreed.
You know, to kind of show off how good you are on your instrument, which is not appropriate to the song.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't make sense. But I like that because it fit the solo there. I think it felt right and it fit the theme of the song wonderfully. And a nice little hip hop feel behind it, too.
Yeah.
Very nice. All right. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And today we're doing a Beacon of Truth playlist. We're taking a look at Stairway to Heaven. And would love for you to join us. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, we want to remind you this weekend we've got Word on Fire, Sunday afternoon, 4 Eastern, as Bishop Robert Barron illustrates some of the great beauties of God's Word and Catholicism. If you want to find out more, you can always check it out as well on demand, ewtn.com/podcast.
All right. Well, today we're looking at one of the most iconic rock songs. Some would say the most iconic rock song of all time, Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven, and on this special Beacon of Truth playlist. And so what Ace and I have done, if you've not heard the playlist show before, you actually go back and listen to the other ones that we've done in the Beacon of Truth archive. What we're doing is we're taking songs, not necessarily praise and worship songs, but songs that have deeper meaning have great meaning for both of us. And for so many others, again, we're not over-spiritualizing them. We're not reinterpreting them in a sense like saying, here's what the artist should have done or here's what they meant. We're not even saying here's what the members of Led Zeppelin meant when they wrote the song. We're not putting words in their mouth. What we're doing is looking at the song and looking at the lyrics and saying, how can we, you know, why is this song so meaningful to us as people of faith?
Yeah.
Even though it's not a faith-based song, but what can we draw from this song that helps us in a sense bring us closer to the Lord? And so this particular song was chosen by Ace. So Ace, why'd you pick this one for the list?
Well, I mean, as a kid, you know, Zeppelin was one of those, you know, legendary bands that, you know, my parents and my friends' parents, they all grew up on. But there was a stint when 90s music went grunge. I went old school. So I discovered deeper into the, you know, backtracks of Zeppelin. And rather than just listening to the radio hits, I wanted to, you know, hear and feel the full albums. And so, you know, bands like the Beatles and, you know, and even John Lennon solo stuff, like that's what I really was into at that time. And Led Zeppelin IV just hit me from first note all the way through. It's still probably one of my favorites next to Physical Graffiti as far as full compilations of their work. But I think I was also at that time, there were parts of me that were angry in my faith. And so I was looking into songs. So even just the title alone, Stairway to Heaven, right? What is it about this song? Are they in a place that is spiritual? Is it a spiritual song? Like, I wasn't necessarily thinking about it other than the fact of trying to process my own emotions, which is another reason why we do these playlist shows, is to take some of these songs that are a little bit of a thumbprint of our hearts and emotions and experiences. And then as they are the soundtrack of our lives, for lack of better words, how are we processing it now? Like, oh yeah, that song was so important to me then. And I think as I juxtapose the then me and the now me, the then me was curious. I was curious about the musical aspects of just, you know, kind of the road that you're on, because this is like a 6-7 minute song, you know, that just kind of goes a little bit all over. But also looking at it lyrically, you know, I think I was definitely looking at it from a this is a song that's a journey to heaven. My journey to heaven doesn't look anything like this song, you know, and then understanding now everybody has their own journey of how they get to God, but it's a matter of what do you do once you begin that relationship, once you start those traditions and trying to build that legacy of faith, and then you pass that on to kids and to the, like you were saying in the Psalms, you know, we may be the only Jesus people see all day. So as we listen to music together and we process the artist or we process their lyrics, there's always some, because I mean, there was a time where a new album would come out, people would all come over to someone's house and you would listen and you would pull out the lyric sheets and you would look at it in depth. You wanted to know who produced it, where it was recorded, you know, all of these things, right? And so that art is gone because now everything's a thumbnail and, you know, my old eyes can't read that. So, you know, it just, music speaks to us at a place of where we're at in the moment. And, you know, when people go, well, I can't relate to today's music. Well, it's not made for you. But if you do connect, it's because there's something about the song that hits you. Like, I was not a big Jelly Roll fan when he first started, but this most recent album that came out, there's a lot of stuff of him just being real in his faith and where he was when he was in prison and how God delivered him. Like, he's not a Christian artist, but he is a Christian who is an artist. And it's an example of him saying, this is where I was, you know, doing terrible things, but God delivered me. And so I think that's the part of this song for me. I was looking for some deliverance from some of that teenage angst that I had been going through when, you know, you're 19, 20, 21. You're trying to figure out who you are as a man. And this was a song that I gravitated to.
And that's awesome. That's awesome. And for me, I've always been a Led Zeppelin fan. Obviously, as a guitarist, Jimmy Page, legend. Taking the his blues kind of style and really reimagining it. With Over the Hills and Far Away, Black Dog, and combine some beautiful finger styles with rock. So like, Over the Hills and Far Away, like some and this one, the beginning in of Stairway to Heaven, it's really not that hard to play from that perspective. And for me, what I like in songs like this are chord changes. Especially chord changes you don't expect. And this song, for me, was just a beautiful song. I think it encapsulates so many. When you listen to a song, you think about mood, you think about layering, right? You talk about building a song, and I think this song does that very well. So when it starts off with the opening guitar, acoustic guitar piece, which is in standard tuning, I think it's in A minor. There's a couple of diminished chords and things like that, but not super difficult to play. And then you have that and it builds through the song, and then you have the and even Robert Plant's voice, the vocals. It grows and it builds, and then by the time the guitar solo, he's almost not screaming, but belting out the song and the guitar solo behind it, and then at the end it winds back down, at the very end. So I mean, this song is so appealing to me on so many different levels. And for me, for this particular song, it wasn't so much the lyrics, but it was, for me, it was the music, again, which goes to show you how songs can hit you in different ways. Different people listen to different things and can pull different things from a particular song
Well,
that's meaningful to them.
yeah, and one of my roommates in college, and again, reason why we're still friends to this day, his we had this, you know, when you're in a dorm, you bring little pieces of home to wrap yourself up. And he had the inside cover, which, you know, for those who have Led Zeppelin 4, you open it and it's the big mountaintop. You know, it is that stairway-esque, you know, with the man at the top and, you know, someone climbing up. And the lyrics for this song were the poster. So you had the inside cover, and then it was just the lyrics kind of cascading down. So I remember, I think that was the other reason, as after already being a fan of the song, he and I instantly connected. I was like, dude, that poster's amazing. You know, just, you know how guys are. But there was the line, and not to skip too far ahead, but it definitely stuck out to me in the part where it says, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. And for me, that hook, that lyric, just especially reading it off his poster every time I walked by, and then, you know, you can't see lyrics and then not immediately have the song stuck in your head. So I was constantly, I don't want to say meditating on it, but it was just always that earworm right there. But I just love that lyric because no matter where you are in your faith, no matter who you are in Christ right now, or who you've been and now where you are as you've been on this journey, it's never too late to change the road you're on. And that may not necessarily have had any spiritual context other than, hey, if you don't like the path you're traveling, change it. You know, and a lot of bands of
Yeah.
the late 60s, early 70s were all experimenting with drugs and spirituality and, you know, Zen stuff. I mean, again, I'm just saying what I got out of it based on my filter of someone who grew up in a Southern Baptist home where every time the doors were open, we were at church, we were helping people in our neighborhood, we were telling people about God. And as I came into my own identity of who am I in Christ, that lyric was a big part of that. That was God speaking to me. I believe that because I needed to be like, hey, stop chasing women, stop being the rock and roller, and go over here and be a man of God. And so, no matter where you are, no matter how hurt you think you are, how alone you think you are, you can change that. God can help you change where you're at and where you're going.
Yes, exactly right. Love that. Well, you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. You're listening to a special Beacon of Truth playlist episode today, and we're taking a look at Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin off of Led Zeppelin 4. Would love for you to join us today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. All right, so let's take a look at the lyrics of the song here. So it starts off, there's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. All right. So when I look at those lyrics, again, looking at it from again, not putting words in Robert Plant's mouth or anything like that, but when I look at this from a spiritual perspective, and so here's someone who's confident that the things in her life are going to get her things that are going to make her happy and fulfilled, including, it says, she's buying a stairway to heaven. Well, we all know you can't buy your way to heaven.
Right.
I mean, there's no amount of money in the world that you can purchase a way to get to heaven. In fact, Jesus talks about, especially with the rich young man, to sell everything that he has, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Right? So the way we get to heaven is by following Jesus. You know, but and it's interesting. When she gets there, she knows if the stores are all closed with the word, she can get what she came for. And then so she, oh, she's, you know, she's buying the stairway to heaven. Again, doesn't work that way. You don't get to the pearly gates and negotiate with Jesus at that point. You know, I could just get what I came for if I could just, you know, negotiate with Jesus. Why? Because we get there. We're going to meet the Lord, and it's going to be the parable of the talents. What did you do with the gifts that I gave you? You know, and we have to what? Multiply those talents. You know, but it's not. So obviously, Jesus is using analogy. We're actually not buying our way to heaven. We're taking the gifts that we're given, not monetary gifts, not material gifts, but the spiritual gifts, the talents that He has given us. We have to multiply them in the glory of God. And that's the key to up the stairway of heaven, so to speak.
Well, and I will say too, I mean, the one thing, we hear repeatedly is, well, when I get out, I mean, I was a good person. So yeah, sure, I'm going to heaven. I mean, that sentence does not merit any value whatsoever, because again, good based on whose credentials and judgment, right? We all have to, Christ is the ultimate. He was the only perfect, human to ever walk and is, a reflection of who we are trying to be. But again, even in our Christ likeness, we're still not perfect and we're still not necessarily good enough, but at least the standard has been set to where is an accurate barometer rather than judging it on the circle around us.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, so true. And so, with faith comes the obligations and responsibilities of faith, right? Which we
Sure.
have to be very much aware of. And so we can't allow the things in the world to distract us from that. We should, yeah, obviously we don't want to run away from the world, right? We want to be in the world, but not of the world, right? But we want to use the things in the world to help us to multiply the gifts that we've been given. And so the lyrics continue. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure, because sometimes words have two meanings, right? Oh man, that's so true in our culture today. A culture is trying to redefine things, marriage and gender and try to make things have two meanings. Yeah, and sometimes words do have two meanings, right? I mean, just by the nature of the word
Sure.
itself, right? But the problem with our culture today is they're trying to not see a word and say, okay, well, there's this meaning and this meaning. No, it's trying to redefine, to change the meanings of words. So instead of taking the word at face value, they're trying to redefine. So what's the word? The word for us is Jesus Christ. Right, the word for us is yes, scripture, but that's the scripture is an expression of sacred tradition, but the word ultimately is not just the Bible. It's a person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus defines for us what that word is, and how we are to live in him, in the teachings that we have in the Gospels. We want to make sure that we're not taking the meaning of things and twisting them to fit our narrative, but we want to make sure that we're understanding what these words mean objectively in and of themselves, and enter into the narrative, enter into the story, right? Rather than to change it to fit our personal thoughts or decisions or lifestyle choices.
Well, I'm guilty of that, thinking that I heard a word from God, or I did hear a word from God, but I misconstrued it to meet my agenda, and we talk about this all the time, Lord, don't let me get in your way. And this comes from a spending way too much time getting in his way, tripping over his words to then go, look what I'm doing. Look what God's orchestrated. And it was never, it was, it's the whole, okay, I have a passion and he gave it to me yesterday. So we think it's coming tomorrow. And then, so we try to make it happen tomorrow and then it doesn't. Or he's given us an epiphany and a deliverance and a freedom from something. So now we think we're ready to counsel people and minister and start church groups. And no, wait. Yes, you had your amazing grace moment, but sustaining grace is what's going to help get you to where you're going so that by the time he has opened that door for you to be usable, he is going to show what has happened from that amazing grace moment to present day. Like, don't, like, God is a hurry up and wait kind of mindset. So, yes, Lord, give me all the visions and all the ideas you want. But then steady my tempo so that I'm going at the pace not to get in the way or misinterpret what you said to me.
Yes, exactly. And there's kind of a dance there, right? with all of that, because we want to make sure that we're getting out of our own way, so that the way of the Lord takes front is front and center.
Yeah.
Yeah, gosh, I love that. And so the lyrics continue. Words have two meanings. In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird who sings. Sometimes all of our thoughts are misgiven. Right? So what do you make of that? This tree by the brook and songbirds singing. Sometimes our thoughts are misgiven.
Well, I mean, the way that I hear that, at least now, I don't know that I always saw it this way, but God speaks to us in the ways that we need to be spoken to. But again, the world speaks to us in the ways that we allow it, so it could be people that we've not set up boundaries with, or it's people that we do listen to, but we disregard maybe what they're saying because we know that's really the action we should be taking to avoid, further perils. So, to me, whether it's an actual songbird itself or just I like the idea of the imagery of a song being what sings into our lives, but we have to be careful how we let that song affect our lifestyle.
Yeah, oh, so true. So true. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And today we're doing a Beacon of Truth playlist. And today's we're looking at Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven. We're taking a look at the lyrics and seeing from our perspective, the perspective of Ace and I, how powerful this song is. And again, not reinterpreting or reimagining it, we're just looking at it through the lens of people of faith, and what can we draw from this song as we continue our journey toward eternal life with God forever in heaven. Like what kinds of things can we draw from this song? So, and if we continue, it says, "There's a feeling I get when I look west, and my spirit is crying for leaving." So. This reminds me of that westward movement in the United States, when colonization and then people started moving west across the country, and there's been actually I just saw on the planes there's several movies about that, right? It just almost seems to be a revival of the western genre. Again, I don't watch television, but on the plane, when I'm scrolling through not just the movies but also the television series, there's a lot of Westerns or Western theme television shows. I haven't really watched them, but this idea of moving west, right, and going and leaving the east and going west, and so there's that westward movement. This idea of moving west, looking for freedom, looking for opportunity, but at the same time, what direction should we be looking at, as we're trying to find, the way forward in our own lives? Should we be looking west? Should we look, well, for us as Christians, we look east, right? We don't look west, we look east. We talk about in the Benedictus, in the Song of Zechariah, he says, "The dawn from on high shall break upon us, who shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death." And Book of Revelation, so we know it says the sun rises in the east, and when the Son of God comes back, he's going to come from the east. So yeah, we look west, but really, as people of faith, we look to the east.
Well, and I think too, as this song, progresses it's someone that's truly looking for answers in their life, and we all are looking for answers, right? And that's the great thing about a songwriter is a songwriter is also looking, and their perspective is from where it's at. I remember the band Creed, was always, is this a Christian band? Well, Scott Stapp, he was a preacher's kid, and he was trying, he was wrestling with his own emotions and things through his songs. So Creed appeared as if it was a Christian band, but really they were just emulating musically behind the lyrics of what Scott was processing. And I feel like that's the great thing about songs is as you read it, it's not just a catchy hook or something, that you can dance to. It really does speak to our souls and what is our soul looking for, and that's what I believe she's looking for in this song.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not gonna be able to get through the whole song, but a part that hit me, if there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. You know,
Yeah.
it's interesting because for us as Catholics, you know, there's a crowning. We consider the crowning of Mary in May. You know, May is one of those Marian months.
Yep.
And so, you know, I can't help but think about that when I look at that particular lyric.
Well,
yeah,
and even
awesome.
if for those who go down later, you know, the idea, if it look through the final part of the lyrics of this song through the lens of Mary, because I believe now there is a part of it that she comes in this song if you're looking at it through that lens.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we continue our musical journey, it also leads to a deeper spiritual journey. You can always check out more episodes of the Beacon of Truth playlist at EWTN.com/podcast or wherever you like to stream. You can also listen to Beacon of Truth live with Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.